I want to share on the compassion and love of the Father shown to us through Jesus. The compassion and the love of the Father shown to us through Jesus. Amen. And if you would turn in your Bibles with me, please, to John's Gospel and chapter 3. Father, we just thank you for this time together. We thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to uplift Jesus and to praise him and to magnify him. Amen. And to give praise for all the good things that you have done for us, Father. And we pray that today your word, Lord, would just show us even more of you. And Lord, that we will be inspired to draw even closer to you and to press on into this fight and into this battle. And that, Lord, we shall see the victory again and again and again in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. John's Gospel, chapter 3. And the story starts here about Nicodemus. To be honest, I'm not really going to be talking about Nicodemus, but I'm talking about the overall spectrum of what is happening here. It says, and there was a man named Nicodemus, a Jewish religious leader who was a Pharisee. After dark one evening, he came to speak with Jesus. Rabbi, he said, we all know that God has sent you to teach us. Your miraculous signs are evidence that God is with you. Wow, that ought to be, you know, we could preach on that alone. Couldn't we? The church today, how do we know that God is with you? The statement's right here. Nicodemus makes that statement. He says, we know God's with you because of the miracles, the things, the healings, the signs, the wonders that we see you do. And the church needs to get back to that point where they are being like Jesus. I've got two agreements anyway. Hallelujah, praise God. Do I see any more? You know, that the church needs to be like Jesus. That when people see us, they see the signs, the wonders and the miracles going on. For the great things that are being done amongst us is a sign that God is with us. Hallelujah. And Jesus replies and says to Nicodemus, I tell you the truth. Unless you are born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. A lot of people come to church, but they're missing the fact that you must be born again to see the kingdom of God. Just because you're sitting in a holy seat, in a holy building, does not make you a Christian. I could go and live in a garage, but it wouldn't make me a car, would it? No. So it's not where you reside, but it's who resides within us, the Lord Jesus. And he must be the Lord and Savior. He must be preeminent in our lives. He must be the one who takes over the driving seat. He must be the one who directs us and leads us and takes us to our destination and shows us the victory again and again. He's the one who will guide us and lead us. And you know, so often we have ideas of things we want to do. Or, you know, I know I'm a bit of a driver. Oh, you some need to talk about driving. You're the whip cracker. Holy. I admit, you know, I'm a fair bit of a... I'm a driver, okay. I'm a driver.
Yeah.
You know, and I push. I have a vision. I have a goal. I have a purpose. I have a plan that God has given to me and I want to see it being fulfilled. You know? And so I'm pouring it out and I'm pouring myself out at the same time. That I might see these come to pass. Because I want to leave behind not a pathway of disaster, but I want to leave behind me a legacy that people have got something that points them constantly to the Lord Jesus Christ. Something that gives them a purpose. Something that gives them the hope. Something that gives them the future. Amen. Glory to God. You know, without Jesus, there's no future. Without Jesus, there's no hope. Hallelujah. Thank God we've Jesus in our lives. And if today you have not asked the Lord Jesus into your heart and life, before you leave this building today, come and see us and do it.
Amen.
Come and see us and do it.
Amen.
That Jesus might be all in all to you. Amen.
Amen.
Verse 4. Nicodemus says, "What do you mean? How can an old man go back into his mother's womb and be born again?" And Jesus replied, "Surely you know no one can enter into the kingdom of God without being born of water and of the Spirit. Humans can reproduce only human life, but the Holy Spirit gives birth to spiritual life."
Amen.
So don't be surprised when I say to you, you must be born again. The wind blows and wherever it wants, just as you can hear the wind, but you can't tell where it comes from, and you can't tell where it's going, but you feel the effects of it. But you don't know where it's come from, and you don't know where it's going. And you know, the Holy Spirit blows over us, and we feel the effects of Him, and we know the presence of Him. Verse, he says there, verse 9, "How are these things possible?" Nicodemus asked, and Jesus replied, "You are a respected Jewish teacher, and yet you don't understand these things. Assuredly, you will tell you, sorry, assuredly, you, we tell what you want to know and have seen, and yet you won't believe our testimony. But if you don't believe me when I tell you about earthly things, how can you possibly believe if I tell you about heavenly things? No one has ever gone to heaven and returned, but the Son of Man has come down from heaven. And as Moses lifted up the bronze serpent on a pole in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, so that everyone who believes in him will have eternal life. For God so loved the world so much that he gave his one and only Son, so that everyone who believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. God sent his Son into the world, not to judge the world, but to save the world through him." Hallelujah. God has not, Jesus did not come to judge us. He came to save us. He came to set us free. He came to give us liberty. He came to give us freedom so that we can come into the presence of Father God. You know, many people today do not understand this Father God relationship. Some of them have had such a bad Father God picture or a father relationship picture, they can't relate to God as being a good father. And I can understand that. So that's why God sent Jesus. So that you're not looking to say, what is the Father like? Because the answer simply is, look at the lifestyle. Look at the stories of Jesus. And he says, I am just doing what the Father is doing. I'm just copying my Father. So when you see me and you see what I do, that is exactly what my Father is doing also. Wow. So straight away you get a different picture of what a father should be to each and every one of us. So here we have a picture Jesus, a picture of Father God. And Jesus is seeking to describe to Nicodemus how the Spirit of God wants to come into our lives and to change us. Wants to come to us and bring to us a new creation. There's an old chorus that we sing. I am the new creation. No more in condemnation. Here in the grace of God I stand. You're a new creation. Just think on that for a moment. I am a new creation. No more in condemnation. Hallelujah. We're free. We're standing in the very presence of our Heavenly Father. And we can enter into His presence knowing He loves us and cares for us. One of the things you see that the Holy Spirit comes into our lives is because God is Spirit. He's not flesh and blood. You see, Jesus had to come in flesh and blood to actually reveal to us God Himself. And so as He came to reveal to us God Himself, He had to do it through the Spirit. God then has to do it through the Spirit after Jesus. And so you see, Jesus is gone. Jesus has now taken His place and is seated at the right hand of God. And so He sent the Holy Spirit now to cause us to know the presence of a Holy Father. He's causing us to know the voice of God in our lives. We've heard testimony even today of how when you just hand something over to God, He takes it. How does that happen? In one sense, I could say, in the natural, we have no idea. But in the realm of the Spirit, God is God. And so when we let go of something in our flesh life and give it over to God, then God says, I'll deal with that. And His presence of His Spirit comes in around us and He encompasses and He lifts that burden. Because you have to realize, God cares for you. God cares for you. God is interested in what is going on in your life right now. He knows what's happening tomorrow. But you see, we need to stay under the covering of His wing. We need to stay in the sheepfold. We need to stay around the shepherd. You know, if you go out, and I think it's in Ecclesiastes, it says, you know, if a man breaks through a wall, a serpent will bite him. And if you come out of the covering of the presence of the Holy God, if you come out of the covering of God on your life, you leave yourselves open to being bitten. Yeah. I know it says a serpent. A serpent is symbolic of the devil. Yeah. And you leave yourself open to be bitten, to be taken over, to be grasped of, to become a captive, yeah, of the enemy, Satan. Yeah. And God wants you to be free. Jesus came to show us the Father, to show us the fact that the Father loves us so much that He wants us to enter into that freedom and to know Him whom to know is life eternal. Turn with me to the book of Mark's Gospel, chapter 6. And verse 36. Mark's Gospel, chapter 6 and verse 36. And this is the feeding of 5,000 men, plus women and children. And the scripture says, they send them away. This is the disciples. First of all, Jesus is there. and it's late in the afternoon. He's been ministering to these people. He's been praying for them. He's been speaking the truth of God into their lives. And the disciples said to him, send the crowd away so they can go to the nearby farms and villages and buy something to eat. But Jesus answered his disciples, oh, get ready for the voice. Get ready for the voice. Because God wants to speak to you. Sometimes it's a case of, well, the disciples had been with Jesus for a while. They'd seen him doing great things. They'd seen him doing miracles. And so Jesus is saying, well, you need to copy me. Do as I do. Jesus said, I only do what I see the Father doing. So therefore, that means that you and I have to do what Jesus has done. Then we're doing exactly what the Father's done. Is that true?
Yes.
Come on.
Yes.
And so he says to his disciples, he says, you feed them. Can you imagine that? You know, where's Judas? Where's Judas? He's got the money bags. Has he cleared off again with the money? You know, treasurers are the worst. You can never get any money out of them, you know. They're accountants. They keep the money. You know, they're good at it. They're good at keeping money. And Judas liked to keep the bag. It said he was a keeper of the bag. He never said he released the bag, did he? You know, he was a keeper of the bag. And he kept it. And Jesus said, go, you go and feed him. And they're in panic now. They answered and said, with what? Can you imagine? Peter there. With what, Jesus? You know. He said, we have worked for months to earn enough money to buy, you know, we'd have to work for months to earn enough money to buy food for all these people. So it shows it's this great crowd. And then Jesus comes back to them on that. So straight away they're in doubt. They're in unbelief. So Jesus says, how much bread do you have? And he said, go and find out. So off they went amongst the crowd. Can you imagine? Amongst 5,000 people plus, they come back with this little boy's lunch. He'd not yet eaten his, which is quite surprising. That's another miracle, you know, the little boy had not yet eaten his lunch. And they come back, we've got five little loaves, and two little fish. Oh, that's good, Jesus says. Yeah. Never doubt that Jesus is able to do miracles.
Amen.
Never doubt that Jesus is able to bring signs, wonders and miracles.
Amen.
And you see, Jesus has taken compassion upon the people, upon the crowd. They'd been with him all that time. They were hungry. And so Jesus said, I'm going to feed them. And you know the story, how he multiplies the loaves and the fishes. They're all fed. And there are 12 baskets full left over. Our God is a God of abundance. Amen. Let our faith arise and let our enemy scatter. You know, our enemy sometimes can be a poverty mentality. God is able to do far more abundantly than we can ever ask or think or even believe. And so here Jesus is showing the compassion of God through his actions for these people, and he feeds them. Let's turn to John's Gospel, chapter 8. John's Gospel, chapter 8 and verse 3. Jesus has gathered a crowd. He's speaking, he's teaching them. He sat down ministering. And in verse 3 it says, and as he, Jesus, was speaking, the teachers of the religious law and the Pharisees brought a woman who had been caught in the act of adultery. They put her in front of the crowd. Teacher, they said to Jesus, this woman was caught in the act of adultery. The law of Moses says to stone her, what do you say? There's a question I have on this one. It takes two to commit adultery. Where's the fella? Huh? But no, they just bring the woman. This is the way they thought. So, verse 6 says, they were trying to trap him into saying something they could use against him. But Jesus stoops down. He stoops down. And he wrote in the dust with his finger. It doesn't tell us what he wrote. Maybe everybody that stood there with a stone in his hand ready to stone this girl, maybe he wrote one of their sins down in the dust. And as their sin came up, down went the stone and they walked away. I'm only surmising, but I can well imagine something like, but you see, Jesus knew. He knew what was in their heart. You see, Jesus knows what is in the heart of man. He knows what's in your heart today. You can't kid Jesus. You can probably kid me sometimes. Not all of the time, let me tell you. But you certainly can kid me sometimes. But you know, when we learn to listen to the Spirit, when we learn to listen to the Holy Spirit, it gets less and less that you can kid us. We know what's going on because God the Father reveals to us what is happening in a person's life. And so Jesus here writes, and in the end there are no accusers left. And then in verse 7 Jesus says, they kept commanding an answer, so he stood up again and said, all right, but let the one who has never sinned throw the first stone. And then he stooped down again and wrote in the dust. And when the accusers heard this, they slipped away one by one, beginning from the oldest until to the youngest. And only Jesus was left with a woman in the middle of the crowd. The crowd was still there. The accusers had gone. You know, when Jesus is with you, the accuser will leave. Because Jesus is our advocate. Jesus is the one who looks and works on our behalf. And so Jesus looks up and said to the young woman, where are your accusers? And didn't even one of them condemn you? And she answers, no, Lord. Did you hear the answer? No, Lord. She recognized who Jesus was, the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings. And then Jesus turns and remember who he is, the Son of the Living God, the Creator of all things. And Jesus said to her, neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. There's a condition in our lives from the Lord Jesus. He forgives us. But the condition is that we go and sin no more. And by the Spirit and by reading the Bible, by listening to the Word of God, and by talking to Him, we can learn to go and sin no more. And so God here is showing through Jesus His love and His compassion. The law says, stone her. But the love of God says, forgive her.
Amen.
Set her free. You see, if we were still under the law, you and I would be totally dead to our trespasses and our sins, to the wrong thoughts even. But you see, when Jesus, with the love of God in our life, it brings us to a place of freedom and to a place of life and liberty. in Christ Jesus because of the love and the compassion of Father God towards each and every one of us. I want to just bring you another story in Luke chapter 7. Luke chapter 7 and verse 11. And this is about Jesus raising a widow's son from the funeral procession. He's already in the coffin. He's on the way to the graveyard. In other words, he's dead and he's dead and he's dead. Okay? And it says this, soon afterwards Jesus went with his disciples to the village of Nain with a great crowd following him. A funeral procession was coming out as he approached the village gate. The boy who had died was the only son of a widow, and many mourners from the village were there with her. And when the Lord saw her, his heart overflowed with compassion. Jesus had said before, I only do what I see the Father do. So Father God had seen this from the very courts of heaven, and Father God's heart was overflowing with compassion, and so Jesus was overflowing with compassion for this widow, that she had lost her son. Her husband was already dead. She was now without anybody. A very difficult situation. When the Lord saw her, his heart overflowed with compassion. Don't cry, he said. And then he walked over to the coffin and touched it. And the bearers stopped. And Jesus said, young man, get up. Young man, get up! Hallelujah! Can you imagine? Can you imagine what would happen if we stopped a coffin and said, get up! And that happened. Do you know what? This building will be busting. They'll be like, what's going on? Did you hear what's just happened? Oh, I don't care. There's only one. We know for sure that one day we will eventually die. We all understand that in the flesh. But this spirit will never die. Hallelujah. You know? Glory to God. Hallelujah. I shall live and not die. Glory to Jesus. And the Lord has declared that upon our lives. And you know, I said earlier, it's about us renewing our youth like the eagles, you know. Glory to God. We can be teenagers again, David. Mind you, we've probably never left teenagehood, have we? Glory to Jesus. That's right, we run and we're not weary. Well, it's coming, brother. It's going, glory to God. And so he stops this funeral procession and he shows the heart of the Father. And in verse 15 it says, then the dead boy sat up and he began to talk to those around him, and Jesus gave him back to his mother. Glory to God, hallelujah, come on, praise God. Church, this is not just for 2,000 years ago. Jesus said, greater works shall you do in my name. So what Jesus was doing, is the expectancy is that you and I, the Church of Jesus Christ, filled with the Holy Spirit and power, will do the same. We'll see the dead raised. Hallelujah. I've seen two. Seen two dead people raised. Hallelujah. And both, no, sorry. Seen three people raised from the dead. And two of them are still alive today, and one of them's in this meeting. That's the power of God. That's the power in the presence of a living Jesus. Don't get me wrong, I've prayed for others and they've not come to life. But I'll tell you what, I will still pray. Because how can you expect to see somebody raised from the dead if you don't pray for somebody? How can you pray? How can you expect somebody to be healed if you don't pray for them to be healed? You might say, well, I prayed for three or four people and they've not got healed. Well, keep doing it. Keep doing it. Keep doing it. Keep it. Start praying into the Word of God. Start speaking the Word of God into your life and knowing that, and let the compassion of Jesus. You see, people were healed not because of the name of Jesus. They were healed because of the compassion of Jesus. And there's a difference. So many people, you know, go up to people and say, be healed in the name of Jesus. Be healed in the name of Jesus. And there's no compassion in their life. It's about, look at me. Look at me. You know when there's a compassion? And the Spirit flows through with that compassion. That anointing of Jesus. The anointing of the Spirit of life. In Christ Jesus, just flows into people and they're healed. Healing virtue, healing life comes from the very throne room of God. We need to connect with heaven itself. We need to be connected through the Word of God, through our prayer life, through the life we live, through the Spirit of God living in us. We need to be connected so that God can flow through us. That is God's intention. God has no other plan. There isn't a plan B. You are the plan. Look at somebody across the room and say, you are the plan. Come on guys, you are the plan. God has only got your hands and your feet and your mouth. You're in the plan. You're part of the plan. You are the plan. You see, Jesus has gone on to be seated at the right hand of the Father, but He's left the plan in our hands. He's left the plan in our hearts. He's left the plan in our spirits, and we've got to begin to speak it out. Declare it in the name of Jesus. Signs, wonders, miracles in that wonderful name. You know, people think that's all He ever talks about. Well, I was born into signs, wonders and miracles, and I said, I made God a promise. I will always believe Him for signs, wonders and miracles. I will never ever doubt Him. I saw it for my own eyes. And I thought, I'd been sent to Sunday school and I'd had the stories read to me, but nobody ever introduced me to Jesus. But I tell you what, when I began to saw these things, I used to think, wow, I knew Jesus was real, but I've never had the encounter. And every one of us needs to have an encounter with Jesus. And when you've had an encounter, you cannot turn back and deny there is no God. If you turn back, that's your choice. But let me tell you this, Father's looking for you. Father's looking for you to return. If you've turned away, if you've lost some of your faith, then turn back. Turn back. Father's waiting. Father's waiting. His arms are outstretched. He has a banquet prepared. He has a new garment for you as a ring to place on your finger. He's waiting for you. He's calling your name. Hallelujah. He's calling your name. He's calling your name. He's calling you back into His family. He's calling you back into relationship. Hallelujah. Because he needs you. He needs you to fulfill the commission. Go. Go. Go in the Spirit. Lay hands on the sick. Raise the dead, cast out demons, preach, teach the word of the Spirit of the living God into the lives of men and women. What did Jesus come to show us? The love of the Father. Look at somebody and say, Jesus has come to show you the love of God for you. The love of God for you. Jesus has come to show you the love of God for you. Amen. You know, we've read these stories. There's one final verse of scripture I just want to give you. I never want to hear this said into my life. John's Gospel, chapter 8, and verse 44. John's Gospel, chapter 8, and verse 44. You know, the Pharisees, the Sadducees were there again. They're like just baying dogs, looking to see what they can devour. And in verse 44, Jesus says, "For you are the children of your father, the devil, and you love to do evil, to do the evil things he does. And he was a murderer from the beginning. He has always hated the truth because there is no truth in him. When he lies, it is consistent with his character, for he is a liar and the father of lies." Wow. These are to the religious people. Jesus lays into them and says, "You are of your father, the devil. You're a liar, you're a cheat, you're a thief. You've robbed these people of relationship and truth with their Heavenly Father." Today, let us not be robbing people. Let us minister the compassion and the love of Jesus into people's lives. Let us be a people of signs, wonders and miracles. I want each and every one of you to be able to lay hands on the sick and that they will recover. That's my goal. One of my goals. So that when people are coming in, you know, and there'll be Daniel and I, and we're out here, and there's a load of people wanting healing. And we're going to be saying, come on, you, lay hands on the sick. The Bible says, they shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall, not maybe, not might, not possibly. He says, they shall recover. I know people try and say about me, say, "Well, you're a bit of an idealist." I take after my father. Amen. Heavenly Father, by the way. He's an idealist. Because in the beginning, after 6 days, he created the heavens and the earth, and he says, "It is good. It is very good." He was an idealist. He created something that was perfect and beautiful. He's the idealist. So be a chip off the old block. Hallelujah. I know we're not perfect, but we're on the road and the journey of perfection. Praise his wonderful name. Stop looking at your faults and your failings and start looking at the things that God has done in your life and rejoice in them. And start building on them. Don't build on your failures. No. Build on those things that God has done in your life that has affected you positively. Yeah. And given you hope and given you a future. Yeah. Build on those. Yeah. Don't build on what your fears were. You see, Louis, her life was built on fears. Kept her in prison, kept her in bondage. The first time she came here, she wouldn't say boo to a goose. In fact, if you were a fluffy doll, she would have even said hello to you. That's what she was like. But the love of God and the Word of God and the Holy Spirit and Jesus has set her free. And now she sits there and says, I've got a testimony. It hasn't taken years, has it? She's on a journey. She wants to be baptized in water. So I've started knocking the pulpit down. We're going to have a baptismal service soon. What I need to do is to get the names of, and contact details of everybody that wants to be baptized. How many have we got here today that want to be baptized? One, two. There was about five, I think, weren't there? Four. Yeah, that's right. One, two, three, four. One, two, three, four with Kerry. Terry wants to do it again, five. I didn't see Jan working, Terry. Well, you should have kept it up. Glory to God. Make sure we have got to make sure we're being seen. You know, Lord, make sure the Lord's seen you. Lord, make sure the Lord knows you're there. You know, and if you don't think he's seen you, keep your hand up. Lord, I'm ready. I'm ready, Lord, for what you want me to do. Be determined about what you're going to do for Jesus. Don't let something stop you. Don't let small things, incidental things stop you. Jesus should be first, the center of all things. I made a decision. Nothing's going to stop me. I made a decision when I left industry and went full time for Jesus. Nothing was going to stop me. I had a purpose. I had a goal. God has something for my life. Things did try to come and stop me. There was one occasion when things nearly overawed me. But God delivered me. You know, you might look at me and think, oh, it's all right for Andrew. He's probably never had it really rough in his life. You know nothing. You know nothing. But I tell you what, I don't look back. I look to the future. I can't change my past, but I can make my future in Jesus Christ. I can make my future in the love of God, in the compassion, and I can bring the compassion of Jesus into other people's lives. Like Kerry that's joined us, you know, God, she's seen the love of God being manifest in this family of God. And what is she seeing? She's seeing God. She's seeing Jesus. We're not perfect. But we're on that journey. We're on that journey. So today, let's you and I show the compassion of God. Let's you and I minister out of the compassion of God. Not ministering out of vain glories. Not look at me, you know. Look what I'm doing. It's not what you're doing. It's what God is doing through you. You can't do anything. But when you connect, oh, hallelujah. When you get the right plug to connect into the socket of God, into the socket of heaven, then the power begins to flow. And you know, all we are is conductors. We're transferring the compassion, the love of Jesus into people's lives. We're rescuing the perishing from hell and delivering them into the kingdom of eternal life in Christ Jesus. The Lord bless you.